Amen. Hey, once again, we're in an exciting Schwabing the Deck study. And one of the things, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but over about the last year, it's kind of been stirring in my heart, but I'm kind of getting a little concerned about a trend that I've been seeing, including from those who are out there and who were out there warning about the plandemic, the scandemic, and the COVID death shots and whatever. And the trend that I'm noticing is it seems like, even from that camp, that they have now moved on. It's been 3 years, but they've now moved on to the third or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the 18th news cycle out there. And they're not talking about anymore. They're moving on to whether it's Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, and now the election year issues and the whole Trump cases and all this other stuff. And those are newsworthy and noteworthy. But here's my problem. Because they're now dropping the COVID pandemic like a hot rock, it's given the impression that we've made it and we're free and clear. And that is not true. Remember, as we saw before, folks, it is a slow kill. It is a slow depopulation of the planet. It's the perfect crime. You can't connect the two because that happened 2 years later, 3 years later. Who says it was from the shot when it really was? But by people not talking about it, it's given the impression that we're free and clear, when in reality, people are still dying like flies. And it has never stopped. And it's still not done. In fact, there's a new term that has been invented now because of this. It's called vaccine remorse. Like these people. Let's take a look.
Do you remember the YouTube and TikTok influencers who shilled the experimental COVID-19 vaccines to their followers during the pandemic? Most of them received payments from the government and Big Pharma to sway their followers into supporting the vaccine rollout. YouTube and other social media influencers were instrumental in spreading the mass formation psychosis that, as stated by Dr. John Malone, resulted in a significant portion of the population being essentially hypnotized into following the draconian COVID measures. Fast forward a couple of years and karma is striking down these same YouTubers who took the jab and cashed in on Big Pharma money. Hundreds of these young and healthy YouTube influencers are now being diagnosed with cancer. And many of them have admitted that they're suffering from rare and aggressive turbo cancers. Many independent publishers have reported on the millions of healthy individuals, including professional athletes, dropping like flies since the vaccine rollout. An ethical mainstream media would be highlighting these deaths on the front pages, pulling out all the stops to investigate exactly what was going on. But instead, the media is cancelling anybody who dares to speak out, and governments are covering up the excess death scandal. We live in a very different world now. Grace Helbig is the latest successful YouTube influencer to be struck down with cancer, just 2 years after promoting the jab to her 2.6 million followers.
Okay, I don't know how to do this, so we're just going to do this. I have breast cancer. I know. It's very shocking. It's very surreal. It doesn't sound real, but it's real.
Here is a video from 2 years earlier, when Grace was in full shill mode, encouraging her millions of followers to get vaxxed and boosted, just like she did.
It's the day after we got our second shot, and I will say I'm feeling pretty okay. I'm just tired and my arm is sore, but that's about it. So I hope you guys do shot. Everybody! I would love if everybody got the shots. That'd be great.
Life comes at you fast, and Grace is far from the only one. Here is a small sample of the other popular YouTube influencers who've recently been diagnosed with aggressive turbo cancers. The list of vaccine tragedies is growing exponentially, and it doesn't even include the large number of TikTok and Twitter influencers who've been diagnosed with cancer, nor the many influencers on various platforms who have suffered heart problems, including myocarditis, devastating strokes, and sudden heart attacks. Who will be the first among these influencers to admit that they were lied to and taken advantage of? Unfortunately, these medical cases only represent the tip of the iceberg. The globalist elite are using the pharmaceutical industry to carry out the biggest crime in the history of the world, according to former Pfizer Vice President Dr. Mike Yaden, who warns that it will involve the deaths of millions, if not billions, of people. Dr. Yaden has revealed that the COVID vaccines are bioweapons, being used as part of a depopulation agenda by the deep state. Dr. Yaden, who formerly served as Pfizer's vice president and chief scientist, explained that the COVID pandemic and the subsequent mRNA vaccination campaign was a supranational operation, years in the making and designed to injure people, to maim, and to kill deliberately. Yaden said that he came to the conclusion that the COVID pandemic was a depopulation plot by the globalists when he started seeing his Pfizer colleagues appearing on TV and telling blatant lies to the masses.
When I started noticing former colleagues of mine, including Sir Patrick Vallance, saying things on the television I knew weren't true and that I knew he knew weren't true. That's when the penny dropped for me, probably February 2020. And I remember saying to my wife, this is not what they're saying it is. Something's going on. And then when I saw not only my country locking down, but dozens of countries locking down at the same time, I would say to your listeners, that was proof, and it's still proof, of a supranational operation. There's no way it could have happened at the local level, at the country level. Therefore, it must have occurred at the level above. Whether it was the WHO or the World Economic Forum or other, I don't know. At the very least, the things people have been injected with, the injuries to people from these so-called vaccines, I'm afraid, I wish I could tell you that it was accidental, but it wasn't accidental. I've spent 32 years in rational drug design. I know, and I knew, and wrote it, before any of them had emergency use authorization, that they were dangerous. And I'm afraid, I'm convinced, and would say, with my hand on the Bible in front of a court, a judge, that these injections have been made to injure people, to maim and kill, deliberately.
In other words, it's not a conspiracy theory. They really are and have been, and it's still going on, using the COVID death shot to depopulate the planet. And it's still in high gear. We ain't seen nothing yet, folks. It's not over. That's my concern. People are starting to be silent about this, and it is not even close from being over. But hey, squirrel, look over here. Don't talk about that. Talk about Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Hamas, Trump case, elect Joe Biden. Oh! Anything but the mass depopulation of the planet that was done on purpose and is still going on. This is why the last 18 times we've been dealing with this guy, because this is where a large part of this murderous, sick, satanic behavior is coming from. There is a global agenda. It's coming from him. And basically, in a nutshell, he is building what the Bible says is the Antichrist kingdom. The Bible's the only book that warned about this 2,000 years ago, and this is what we're seeing. And it's not a surprise on the one hand, because he grew up in Hitler's world. His dad, Buddy Eugene, there on the right, he was buddies with Hitler's. His company was a model company for the Nazis, worked with the Nazis, and that's where he basically gets his ideas from, as we've been seeing, including the Holocaust ideas, the modern Holocaust right now that's going on, that's making the other one look like chump change, okay? And today, basically, what he's doing is he's taking what Hitler did and only made it as far as Germany, and he's now putting it and extrapolating it to the whole world, whether we want to or not. And he admitted, folks, it was the what? The plandemic was the opportunity, the trigger, the crisis they deliberately created to begin to put their great reset in place. It really should be called the rise of the Fourth Reich, okay? But you can't say that because that's too obvious. So they call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Great Reset. The Bible alone calls it for what it is. No, you can call it what you want. It's the Antichrist kingdom. Now, for proof of that, we've been seeing a bunch of different things. Klaus Schwab and the current Holocaust. It's not done, folks. You just saw it is still in high gear. It's sad that people are now being silent about it. The murderous motive. You and I are just a bunch of useless people to these guys. They're controlling the food supply. They're also using the food supply to murder people. That's another angle they're doing that. They're also genetically modifying the food supply so that if you didn't get the shot, they're going to get it into you one way or another. And genetically modify. Then they're genetically altering technology. They got several that is not just been used, they're already being used against people's will. And then they're using that altering technology to create an apocalypse that they admit it ain't going to go well, but they're still doing it, and God warns about. And then they're using that technology to alter us as humans, not just insects and plants and animals, but even us, okay? They're mixing us with animals, we saw there before. Also, they're copying us as humans, cloning for their nefarious purposes. They're making us into cyborgs. You guys saw the brain chip, the Elon Musk. It's now going into humans. We talked about this last year. It's all coming to play. They want to connect us and create half man, half machine for further, literally, control, monitoring everything, your thoughts, turn us into literally a cyborg. And then genetic super soldiers, you know, in case you and I get out of line, have fun taking on a literal genetic Captain America. You ain't going to win on that one. And they're transhumanists, right? They believe it's their duty as the elites to transcend the limitations of humanity. This is what they're doing. This is their version of utopia. They got the plans already made. They're already started. They got their methods already made. And then you're going, man, this is sick. That's satanic. Well, that's why we dealt with two times this occult background of these guys. There's a reason why these guys can look us square in the face and murder us right in the process as they smile. It's because they're sick and satanic. Okay, is what we look. Now, last time we began to take a look at the next one, that's Klaus Schwab and the deliberate destruction. And we need to deal with this because no normal person, you would think, would ever go along with these sick occult people, their satanic agenda, their transhumanist vision to alter mankind into something that they admit is non-human, post-human species, augmented humanity, human 2.0. Did you sign up for that? Did you vote for that? Did you say, hey, yeah? No, but they're doing it anyway. This is that, and you're thinking, well, nobody's going to go along with this. Well, this is why we need to understand their modus of operandi. Okay, they're going to deliberately crash and destroy our existing system and way of life, so it'll become the excuse for them to ride in as the saviors and to implement their new occult system. Okay, as we saw last time, that's the phrases behind create a crisis, you manage the outcome. That's what the plandemic was. To get it kickstarted, they want it in place by 2030. That's their goal. Okay, we also saw that those people working for Klaus Schwab in the game, they say what? Never let a good crisis go to waste. They admit this is their modus of operandi. And we saw even from Freemasonry, what was their motto? It was order out of chaos, right? This is how they operate, folks, because people are more apt to surrender their freedoms in a time of fear than a time of peace. They know how to manipulate. Now, speaking of that, they're doing it with lies and deceit that we saw last time, 2 Thessalonians 2. That's exactly how the Antichrist is going to build his kingdom. With what? Truth and honesty and democracy? No, with lies and deceit. And this whole thing that they're doing and implementing against our will, whether we want it or not, that's exactly what they're doing. They're basically laying the foundation for the Antichrist kingdom, including a cashless society. Again, this is why Biden was brought in. We saw last time. This was 2 years ago. Look at the date there, folks. March, okay, in 2022. He signed the executive order for us to go to the digital dollar, a cashless society. And Klaus brought him in to do that because, again, these guys are not only building a Mark of the Beast type system, but they're going to tie in this cashless society with the big database, and they're going to know everything about you and I, okay, which is what the Antichrist is going to do. And Biden's bringing it here to America. That's his job, okay? And that's why you see other countries who also work for Schwab, they're a little bit further ahead than us, including Australia. Did you see recently what's the big deal going on in Australia? Australia has now got, they're pushing for a national ID system. Watch this. This is crazy.
The federal government is pressing ahead with digital ID, national digital ID, which they say will be a one-stop shop for all your interactions with government systems. You know, all your data is just held in one place. So if you need to talk to Medicare or you need to talk to Centrelink or whatever the hell they're called these days, there's one system you will be able to use for everything. And it will also be expanded out to use with private businesses. So, for instance, you don't have to provide your license number or whatever it might be to a bank and all this sort of thing, right? It will all be kept in one place. Now, what could possibly go wrong when you keep all personal data about someone in one place where, of course, if you hack the system, you literally have access to everyone's data. And not only is it being held centrally, it's being held by the government. So why would outfits that, you know, are attached to the government, let's say the police or let's say councils that issue you fines, would they not have some interest in potentially getting hold of that data for their own purposes? Well, LNP Senator Jared Rennick asked exactly this question of a panel of experts, and guess what they had to say?
So what you're saying is that under this legislation, police don't need a warrant to access?
That's correct.
Right, okay, well.
Yeah, so with regard to biometric data, there is requirement for a warrant, but it doesn't specify that that's for a serious crime. But also police can access all other kinds of personal data in the bill in general when there has a proceeding has been started. And I should add also that it's not just police that can have that access in terms of the general access to personal information. It includes enforcement bodies generally. So that includes bodies that can issue civil penalties.
Enforcement bodies, not just the police. Now, don't forget, remember back during COVID when you had to go and sign in with a QR code to go and have a coffee or a pint at the pub. And of course, when you had that pint at the pub, you had to sit down because if you stood up, you were definitely going to get COVID if you stood at the bar. And we were told that all this data that was being collected by the government, where you'd been, when you'd been, etc., there was no risk of this ever being used by anyone else for any nefarious purpose. But, of course, we know that the coppers were applying to get a hold of this data, in WA in particular, They were using it for assault cases, you know, people getting knocked in the head outside of a nightclub on a Saturday night, and the first thing they do is run to the state government to ask for the COVID data because, of course, it tells them where everyone has been. Can we not see where this is going?
Yeah, it's called a digital prison plan, which is part of the plan. Australia's just further ahead than us, but we're hard on the heels, and this is where Biden's going to come into play, and we're going to expose all that. The police, this circumvents having a search warrant? Is that not concerning to anybody, let alone Australians? Are you kidding me? This is exactly what it will do. Did anybody see the recent thing that just happened? Was it the FBI that came out and the guy got caught on tape saying, hey, we can arrest anybody we want? Did you see that? The current status of our FBI, and then you give them these powers? Not good, folks, but that's part of the plan. That's what they want to bring to the whole planet, to ensure compliance with this great reset. Now, Australia, if you think that they're not working with Klaus just like Biden is and whatever, if you guys recall, during the pandemic, they admitted that they're working for him to build the new world order. They said it on tape. Remember that? Watch this.
The New World Order has now been announced by the Australian Health Overlords, Australia's Public Health Chief Dr. Kerry Chant, and Australia Health Minister Brad Hazard said in press conferences about Australia's lockdowns, referring to the New World Order. The words New World and Order, yes, came out of their mouths in that order. Watch.
Our exposure sites still... will they be put back in place to be listed once we are reopening? Because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. In the New World Order. In the New World Order.
And that's just the way it is. We've got to accept that this is the New World Order. We've got to accept that this is the New World Order. We've got to accept that this is the New World Order.
Or... if you don't want to be that obvious, it's also known as the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, but the Bible calls it for what it really is. It's the Antichrist Kingdom. That's right. This is what these guys are doing. And so you can't say there's no concerted effort. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is what they're doing. This is what they kickstarted officially with the pandemic, but it has never stopped, and they're wanting to get it all across the globe by 2030. And again, it's not just this big brother on steroids, mark of the beast, a financial system where they could basically do anything to anybody. It's every single aspect of the Antichrist kingdom, and I want to demonstrate that to you. This is what they're doing. This is why we know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is what they're building. Read the Bible. Revelation 13, this is our opening text. Let's take a look, and we're going to tear apart what I call the four big pillars of the Antichrist kingdom. And then we'll compare it to what Klaus and the gang, including the Pope, is pushing across the planet. Okay, but let's take a look at that. Revelation 13, and we'll take a lead from Jim, the spiritual warrior of God. And let's go ahead and stand as we read that. I knew you were wanting to. Right. Let's stand as we read God's holy word. Future events, Revelation 13, starting with verse 5. The beast, the Antichrist, was given, watch this, a mouth to utter proud words and what? Blasphemies, and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to what? Blaspheme God, and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. Good thing we don't see any signs of that. Yuval Noah Harari, what we've been seeing, Klaus Schwab, they say what? We're the new gods of the planet now. That's blasphemy, folks, right? And so that fits their characteristic right there. He was given power to make war against the saints, and this is not the church, this is the tribulation saints, those who get saved in the seven-year tribulation. The lesson is you should have got saved now and avoid the whole thing. So he was given power to make war with the saints and to conquer them. And he was given what? Authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names who have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb, that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness in the part of the saints, i.e. the people who get saved after the seven-year tribulation starts. Now, here's the other guy. That was the Antichrist, the political figure. Now we're going to take a look at the religious figure, the false prophet. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Okay, he exercised all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, on his behalf, and he made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And He performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived, and he was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. And he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. You may be seated if you can. But basically, we have a teardown here of what I call the four big pillars of the Antichrist kingdom that will be in play in the seven-year tribulation. And I'm convinced we're seeing the lead up for that. And basically, a lot of prophecy teachers, including myself, is saying that this is what we're seeing on the global scene. Because you look at it, when the Antichrist makes his appearance, Daniel 9:27, he makes that covenant, this agreement with Israel, the seven-year, that's what starts the seven-year tribulation. Well, then does all of a sudden he go, well, I guess I better get started with building this kingdom? No, there's not enough time. That's why a lot of us say this is the importance of what we're seeing with these global mega millennials, including Klaus Schwab and the gang and Biden and all the people working for them, the Kill Gates and the George Soros and all those folks. Okay, they're basically setting the stage to have it all ready to go so that when the Antichrist makes an appearance, they give him the keys to the kingdom. Right? So that's kind of the importance of what we're seeing today. But let's break it down here. First of all, it's satanic. And that's what we see there. It says there that they're inspired by the dragon. The dragon, if you back up to Revelation 12, the context clearly defines the dragon as Satan. So what makes this Antichrist kingdom so horrible is it's satanic. It literally is satanically empowered. It's Satan's two guys, political, religious figure. Okay, it's a satanic regime. Now stop there right there. What do we see for two studies? Who's involved in the occult? Klaus Schwab and the gang. Most of our government, the world leaders. We exposed all that. So here's a satanic regime that's going to pop on, and these people say, oh, that sounds too horrible for me. No, they're already involved in this stuff. They're sliding right into it, man. That's not by chance that these guys are involved in the occult and they're blaspheming God. Okay? Then we see this beast of the Antichrist is going to work together with a religious cohort, the false prophet. And his job is to further deceive people and dupe people into worshiping the Antichrist. And it's a good thing we see nobody trying to do that. Yeah, we saw that the Pope and the Vatican, how many different times, they are promoting the exact same wicked agenda as Klaus and the gang. That's not by chance. It's almost like he's trying to get the job. Okay. Now, but let's break down the pillars here. You also have, it's not just satanic. It's not just with a religious cohort to further dupe people. It implies, Revelation 13, a one world government. And that's the phrase there. He was given authority, govern, over how many? Every tribe, people, language, and nation. That's a one world government. A one world religion is another pillar. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, the Antichrist. In fact, I believe it's four different times in Revelation 13 alone. It says they worship the beast. They worship the beast. There's also a one world economy. And that specifically has to be cashless because it's apparently tied in biometrically. Right? You don't tape a $20 bill to your hand. So there's some sort of, that's why we say it's cashless. It's electronic and it's tied together biometrically into people's body parts. And that's the phrase there. He forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand and forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he had that mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. And then finally, it implies a global big brother system, like you're seeing in Australia, like you're seeing here and around the world. Okay, because, and we say that because they give out an order for people to obey, i.e. worship the Antichrist. So that means they got to know where you're at to give this order. And then when the order is given, they got to know where you're at. And then they got to know what you say and do because they got to know whether or not you obeyed. And then they got to know your location because if you don't obey, they're going to kill you. What's that? That's a global big brother system. That's where we get that technology. But again, I don't know about you, but good thing we see no signs of these things being built to be handed to the Antichrist when he arrives. They've been in place for quite some time. And if anything, right now we're at the stage where I would say we are dotting the I's and crossing the T's. That's how close we are. Just in time to hand the keys over to the Antichrist. But here's my point. Every aspect of this, a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economy, a cashless society, biometric control, a big brother database system monitoring everything that people say and do, wherever you go, a prison plan, it's every aspect of the Great Reset. So again, you can call it the Great Reset, you call it the Fourth Industrial Revolution, call it the New World Order. It's the Antichrist kingdom. We don't have to wonder if you just stick to the Word of God. Okay, but again, how are they going to do this? They're going to use lies and deceit, and they're going to deliberately crash the existing system to become the excuse to, we need to reinvent, reimagine, reset with a new system, right? And as we saw last time, that's exactly the same thing. Again, where's Klaus getting his ideas from? Hitler. What did Hitler do? How did Hitler bring in such a satanic regime? We saw last time he did it with a crisis called the Reichstag fire. Remember that? And that became the excuse to instantly overnight get rid of all democratic freedoms and do whatever he wanted to do. But it wasn't just that. There was a two-bang punch that he used. He didn't just use a crisis called the Reichstag fire. He capitalized on an economy that crashed overnight. Watch this.
How did Adolf Hitler, a tyrant who orchestrated one of the largest genocides in human history, rise to power in a democratic country? The story begins at the end of World War I. With the successful Allied advance in 1918, Germany realized the war was unwinnable and signed an armistice ending the fighting. As its imperial government collapsed, civil unrest and worker strikes spread across the nation. Fearing a communist revolution, major parties joined to suppress the uprisings, establishing the parliamentary Weimar Republic. One of the new government's first tasks was implementing the peace treaty imposed by the Allies. In addition to losing over a tenth of its territory and dismantling its army, Germany had to accept full responsibility for the war and pay reparations, debilitating its already weakened economy. The Nazi Party was not initially popular. After they made an unsuccessful attempt at overthrowing the government, the party was banned, and Hitler jailed for treason. But upon his release about a year later, he immediately began to rebuild the movement. And then, in 1929, the Great Depression happened. It led to American banks withdrawing their loans from Germany, and the already struggling German economy collapsed overnight. Hitler took advantage of the people's anger, offering them convenient scapegoats and a promise to restore Germany's former greatness. Then, in 1933, a young worker was convicted of setting fire to the parliament building. Hitler used the event to convince the government to grant him emergency powers. Within a matter of months, freedom of the press was abolished, other parties were disbanded, and anti-Jewish laws were passed. Many of Hitler's early radical supporters were arrested and executed along with potential rivals. And when President Hindenburg died in August 1934, it was clear there would be no new election.
Sound familiar? It's the exact same plan that's being foisted on us. It wasn't just a Reichstag fire, a government building that created a crisis, the excuse. Oh, by the way, has there been anything else, even our own country, that's been used as an excuse? Look at what these people did to the government building. You see it? And it's a joke, just like the Reichstag fire was, but it's become an excuse to round people up and, dare I say, instill fear in the rest of you. Don't you ever think about going against us. That's why they keep moving that forward, and it never ends. It has nothing to do with what really went on, because what really went on, we're being lied to. But it wasn't just a Reichstag fire. It was what? Instantly, the economy on top of that, what? Bang! Collapsed. And Hitler used both of those events to overnight install his satanic regime and overnight completely got rid of all democratic laws, the democratic system, and here comes your satanic regime that led to a Holocaust. Folks, this is the exact same thing. I say this all the time. You ever wonder what Klaus is up to? You ever wonder what his game plan is? Go study the Third Reich. I'm telling you, it's tit for tat, carbon copy. We're just hitting the tip of the iceberg, but this is it, okay? And it's the exact same plan that he's going to bring to the world. It's not just for Germany. It's now for the whole world. You create a crisis, you manage the outcome. order out of chaos. Never let a good crisis go to waste. It's still in print on their website. They admit the plandemic is their Reichstag fire. This is how we're going to get this all started. Okay? And then you need somehow to do the other thing. You need to collapse the economy. And this is where Biden comes in. Now, as if we needed more proof from last week that Biden is a puppet of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, we're going to get into, Lord willing, the next several studies and proving that Biden, this is not just a theory, certainly is not a conspiracy theory, he was handpicked by Klaus and the gang to do the other half, not just the Reichstag fire aspect, it was to destroy our economy, right? And this is where Biden comes in, okay? And then you're going like, well, why would they do that? Because the dollar is the backbone of the current global system. So if your goal stated is we're going to reset the whole economy of the world and turn it into cashless, then what has to go? Us. The dollar. That's why we're being picked on. That's why Biden was brought in. And it's not by chance. This is his role. If you recall last time on tape, remember he got up in the World Economic Forum and he talked about the new coming digital revolution? That's what he was here for. And see, this is the illusion. A lot of people believe that Biden, okay, is just making dumb decisions. And they come up with these really, I dare say, accurate acronyms for his last name, right? But see, there's an illusion behind that. They think, oh, all these decisions ever since he got into office, they're just dumb. What dummy would do that? See, that's the illusion. They're not dumb, they're deliberate. He's hired by Schwab. He sold his soul to the devil to destroy our country. And I want to break that down in the next several studies. And the first way he's doing it, and I'm going to prove it to you, is with oil and energy. Oil and energy, folks, is one of the easiest ways to destroy anybody's economy because you have to have those for a thriving economy. This was the very first thing he did the very first day in office. Look at the date there, January 20th. The very first thing. He didn't wait. He didn't take a vacation. He didn't say, hey, I'm just going to relax for a couple days and kick it into gear. The very first day, Sleepy Joe, first thing he did was to cut off the pipelines, okay? And the reason why he did that, because he knows, and this is what he was brought in for, it is to instantly reverse our economy, going from a booming economy, independent economy, and he's going to make us energy independent again to deliberately hurt our economy because cheap, readily available fuel is what any economy thrives on. That's why he's attacking it. And believe it or not, some in the government have said that's exactly what he's doing. He's doing it on purpose to destroy our economy. Watch this.
Folks, this is very simple. It's the basic fundamentals of the economy. When President Biden on day one came in and shut down that pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, and then he halted the leases on oil and gas, then he turns around and he looks at Russia and OPEC and says, come save us. Please come and fill that void for us. That's how we got here. We are all trying to give you a winter forecast. And to my knowledge, none of us are meteorologists. So the winter forecast that we're giving you is devastation. When you look at these numbers of propane up 54%, heating oil up 43%, natural gas up 30%, this is a forecast of disaster. And as Americans are bracing for these higher prices, the Democrats are doubling down on their efforts to totally shut down American energy production.
I wonder why. Because this is a surefire way to destroy your economy, which is the plan. And that's why Biden was brought in, and he revealed his true colors by doing that the very first day. It's on purpose, folks. He's here to destroy our economy so they could reset it. Okay, now it isn't just the fuel costs that are going through the roof in general, it's at the pump. Yeah, he did that, all right, right? Trump even warned about it. Sure enough, it didn't take long, and that's what we're dealing with. And it's not just at the pump, it's at the home. Have you noticed gas and electricity gone through the roof? Yes. This is all part of the plan because you keep it up, and folks, we can't sustain this. Something's going to give, it's going to pop. And that's what they want to happen. And it's happening all over the world. Watch what's going on in England. They're doing the same thing because it's, again, it's like the pandemic. It's a global concerted effort. This guy wrote in about his mom with British Gas. She was paying £52 per month. Her latest bill is £1,248. You can't sustain that. something's going to pop, right? And because of that, people over there are wondering, we can't even, we're going to have to close businesses. It's not just a personal thing, it's a business issue. This lady right here, her electric bill over there went from $12,000 a year to $64,000 a year. You can't sustain a business with that. And then if you think it won't get even higher than that, and I watch this headline. This is pretty freaky. Hey, what would you do if your utility bill was $10,000? Oh, it'll never do that. Have you heard of a country called Venezuela? That's what inflation does. And this is what they want, to literally crash it so hard, so bad that people say, government, fix it. That's the setup. In fact, we even have world leaders. This is from Macron in France. He even says this in his arrogance. We're going to see an end of abundance. Oh, well, not them. Just you and I. The rest of us. But don't worry. You got to pay those people back off that got you into office. Watch this. Big banks are making a killing off of global hunger and energy crisis. The rich get richer. The poor get poorer. Destroy the middle class. It's part of the plan, folks. These guys ain't hurting. They're making bank. Remember during the pandemic? When all the mom and pop stores went belly up, and that was part of the plan too. Mm-hmm. Who was it that made hand over fist? Walmart, Amazon, big corporate, rich guys, they could have. It's the same thing, folks, with the energy crisis. The rich are getting richer, right? As you and I are watching the destruction before our very eyes. And if you recall, Biden even promised on the campaign trail that he was going to get rid of fossil fuels. It's on tape. Watch this.
But you know, I want you to just take a look, okay? You don't have to agree, but I want you to look in my eyes. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel, and I am not going to watch it.
Yeah, celebrate your destruction, because that's what's going to happen if you get rid of fossil fuels. This is no joke, folks. He literally said, I'm going to destroy fossil fuels. Can we translate that? I'm going to destroy the economy, because you cannot do that without crashing the system. But that's exactly the plan, okay? He's telling you what he's going to do, including not just natural gas and things like that, but other cheap fuel that we need for our current economy to thrive, and that includes coal. And I quote, this is from last week, New England's last coal plant is set to close. You can't sustain our energy infrastructure if you keep shutting these down. And believe it or not, again, this is a long-term plan that started in the Obama days. That's why a lot of people say that Biden is just the O-Biden administration, a continuation of that. Because back then, Biden or Obama started the slide. That's why people were freaking out 8 years after Obama, and then here comes Hillary. Do you think she would have stopped? No. And then you have 4 years of hiatus. Trump takes it back in reverse, but now they got their guy back in, not Hillary, but Biden, and he's starting to dismantle again. Right? Let's take a look at that.
Tomorrow, President Obama unveils tough new regulations to combat climate change, including unprecedented cuts on carbon pollution.
At the heart of his plan, coal-fired power plants.
If somebody wants to build a coal-fired plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
Close down the oil industry.
I would transition from the oil industry, yes.
Oh,
I
would transition.
It is a big statement.
That's a
because
big statement.
I would stop.
Why would you do that?
Because the oil industry pollutes significantly.
I see.
And here's the deal. But
that's
you can't
a big
do
statement.
That. Well, if you let me finish the statement, because it has to be replaced by renewable energy.
Basically, what he's saying is he is going to destroy the oil industry. Will you remember that, Texas? Will you remember that, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma?
Vice President Biden, let me give you 10 seconds to respond,
Ohio.
And then I have to get to the final question. Vice President Biden.
It takes everything out of context, but the point of it is, look, we have to move toward a net zero emissions.
We have got to transform our energy system away from fossil fuel.
Why? Because the moment you do that, you crash the system. Our system is not set up for any other system. Ain't going to happen overnight, but you keep this up, you're going to crash the system. That's the plan. That's what they're doing. Set it on tape. Translate when they say get rid of fossil fuels to destroy the economy, because that's really what's going on. Translate when they say We got to do this because it's dirty. This is going to help in climate change. Climate change is the lie that they use as the excuse to destroy the global economy. That's all it is, in a nutshell. But they make it sound so altruistic. We're here to say, no, you're not. You're here to destroy the economy. And you're duping people thinking who go along with it that they're doing some great religious deed and we're working together as humanity. And it's a lie. Lies and deceit. Lies and deceit. And they double down on this and they say, well, don't worry, John, we're going to literally get rid of fossil fuels. We're here to save the day with green energy. Watch this. They say it again. They all say it in his cabinet. Watch this.
Our plan, powered by the Inflation Reduction Act, represents the largest investment in fighting climate change in our country's history. And it will put us well on our way toward a future where we depend on the wind, the sun, and other clean sources of energy. We will rid ourselves from our current dependence on fossil fuels.
There it is. Said it again. And what do you translate that? We're going to destroy the economy? That's Janet Yellen, if you're not familiar. And I don't think she was Yellen. But she is Biden's Secretary of the Treasury. This is what they're in for. They're here to destroy the economy. I mean, get rid of fossil fuels. But don't worry, green energy is going to save the day. It's just going to be a quick flip of the switch. No, it's not. That's the other lie. In fact, as one guy says, you're dreaming. Watch this. This is crazy.
We're headed toward an exciting all-renewable energy future. Wind and solar will power the world of tomorrow. And tomorrow isn't far off. It's time to wake up. You're having a dream. Here's the reality. Oil, natural gas, and coal provide 84% of all the world's energy. That's down just 2 percentage points from 20 years ago. And oil still powers nearly 97% of all global transportation. To get the same amount of energy from solar and wind that we now get from fossil fuels, we're going to have to massively increase mining by more than 1,000%. This isn't speculation, this is physics. Copper, iron ore, silicon, nickel, chromium, zinc, cobalt, lithium, graphite, and rare earth metals like neodymium. We need them all. And then those metals and materials have to be turned into motors, turbine blades, solar panels, batteries, and hundreds of other industrial components. That also takes lots of energy, which requires even more mining. As a World Bank study put it, these green technologies are in fact significantly more material intensive than our current energy mix. That may be the understatement of the century. Raw materials account for 50 to 70% of the costs to manufacture both solar panels and batteries. But for the sake of argument, let's say we sharply ramp up mining. Where would these new mines be located? Well, for one, China. That country is today the single largest source of most of our critical energy materials. The United States is not only a minor player, but is dependent on imports for 100% of 17 critical minerals. Do we want to give China more political and economic leverage? Europe has made itself dependent on Russia for 40% of its natural gas. How well has that worked out? Ironically, we have all the minerals we need right here in North America. But good luck trying to get them out of the ground. Proposals to build mines in the United States and increasingly almost everywhere else meet fierce opposition, if not outright bans. To give just one example, in 2022, the Biden administration canceled proposed copper and nickel mine in northern Minnesota. This was after years of delays navigating a maze of environmental regulations. And yes, the same environmentalists and green-leaning politicians who tout all the benefits of electric cars are the same people who make mining the materials essential to build those cars, like copper and nickel, all but impossible. Until now, it hasn't really mattered that much because wind and solar still account for only a few percentage points of the global energy supply. They're an applause line for environmentalists, not a major energy player. Fossil fuels, nuclear energy, and yes, renewables will be required. But if you think we could get it all from wind and solar, dream on.
In other words, it's never going to happen. And you keep this up, a radical destroying, and you say, I will completely get rid of fossil fuels, the system's going to crash. And that's exactly the plan. And they know it, folks. And then on top of that, our existing system, we're seeing stuff like this. Series of explosions at natural gas facilities. Like the food supply. that they're burning up, blowing up. We'll get into that, Lord willing, next time. And then there have been 9 attacks on the U.S. energy infrastructure just since November. And then on top of that, every country's got a reserve. But what is Biden doing to our reserve? He's selling it off. And can you guess who? China. You wonder why they call him China Joe? Who's going to benefit from all the green technology? China. We could do it here, but they won't let you. Do you see who he's working for? Schwab and the gang, China. We'll get to that connection in a second. But here it is, getting caught. He's selling our reserves off to China. This is crazy.
The 3 things that any functioning country must have in ample supply are food, water, and energy. Those are the fundamental necessities of life, not diversity, equity, and inclusion. Food, water, and energy. If you have a surplus of food, water, and energy, you win. If you don't, you lose. Now, that may sound unfair, but we did not make the rules. Nature did. We can choose to ignore them, but those rules will never change. Sorry. Thankfully for Americans, we live in a country that is remarkably abundant in all 3 of those things. The U.S. has the most fertile farmland in the world. We've got more potable fresh water than virtually any other place. And critically and rarest of all, America has the largest recoverable oil reserves on the planet. We are number 1 in that category, and that matters maybe more than anything. Now, they may be telling you on CNN that so-called renewable energy, windmills and solar panels, are about to power the world. But that's absurd, and no one corrects them, and somebody should, because a lot is at stake. If your 9-year-old starts telling you, "I'm like Superman," you have to correct him before he jumps off the garage. The stakes are high. So it is incumbent on the rest of us to point out the people telling you that have no idea what they're talking about. We are not remotely close to a green energy power grid or anything even approaching it. In fact, as of today, the world is powered, as it has long been, by fossil fuels. Fossil fuels, that's where more than 80% of global energy comes from. Not from windmills and solar panels. From oil and gas and coal. And that is not going to change soon. In fact, the world's fastest growing economies, that would be India and China, are using more fossil fuels than ever, not less. Yet suddenly, strangely, the United States is suddenly experiencing shortages of both food and energy. And that's why prices of these things have risen, because we don't have enough of them. How did that happen? Super simple. Joe Biden, on the campaign trail, told us he was like Superman. And then he proceeded to jump off the garage. He told us he was going to end fossil fuels. And because no one took him seriously because he's senile and wasn't actually going to win, no one followed up with, "What are you, insane? How are you going to do that?" And so he kept going. And then he became president somehow. And then he followed through on that promise. He canceled pipelines. He terminated oil and gas leases. He rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement without explaining why we should. And by the way, if the climate is such a crisis, an existential crisis, and China and India are using more fossil fuels than they did 10 years ago, and nobody says anything about it, maybe they're not really sincere about this global warming thing. And then on top of all of that, Joe Biden decided to do something so crazy and so dangerous that only someone who was intentionally trying to harm the United States would even consider it. We're releasing 1 million barrels per day for a total of more than 180 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is held in caverns in a couple of states. How much is that? It's a staggering figure. It turns out the oil being released isn't for us. It's going to India and China. According to Reuters, and we're quoting, more than 5 million barrels of oil that were part of a historic U.S. emergency reserve release to lower domestic fuel prices were exported to Europe and Asia last month. The piece continues, quote, cargoes of SPR crude, oil from our reserves, were also headed to the Netherlands and to a Reliance refinery in India, an industry source said. A third cargo, buckle your seatbelt, headed to China. To China. So as gas prices set records in this country, as American citizens who are born here and vote and pay taxes cannot afford to fuel their own cars, the Biden administration is selling off our emergency oil reserves to China. That's not an indictable offense. It's certainly an impeachable one. And they should impeach him for that.
But it ain't going to happen. Because both sides of the aisle, not just Democrats, folks, the Republicans. Go to the World Economic Forum website. Blow your mind. They have a searchable database. Look at how many people, Republicans and Democrats, both sides of the aisle, are working for Schwab. Lord willing, I'll show you in a future study on tape, he is bragging about it, that he has planted his people in every major developed country in the world, including our own. Biden's just the tip of the iceberg. But then on top of that, I mean, this is treasonous. This is back in the old day, it's like, man, you're treason. What's the penalty for treason? Get a robe, right? You're deliberately, on purpose, destroying our country. But see, they hide him behind, oh, just ice cream. And although that may be true, but it's being done deliberately, folks. It's not just dumb decisions that are deliberate. And then on top of that, and I quote, he refuses to replenish those reserves that he's selling off to China. This was just from last week. The Biden administration cancels purchase for strategic petroleum reserve, citing high prices. Well, gee, I wonder who caused that. So they're not even filling it up. This is deliberate destruction. And then on top of that, I couldn't believe I came across this. You're not only selling off our reserves, saying you're going to get rid of our whole system to crash the economy and get rid of reserves, make sure the whole there's nothing left. But in this reserve oil exchange to China, guess who's making money off of it? Guess who it's going through? It rhymes with Hunter Biden. Watch this.
You have, at a time of purposeful record high gas prices, because remember, there's no reason that they should be this high. We have all the resources at our feet. There's no reason to be tapping into our strategic national reserve, which, by the way, President Trump filled up when they were record low prices because it was in the national interest. And instead of booming oil exploration, being the number one exporter like we were under President Trump, they've sabotaged our own outputs. They've canceled our pipelines. They've canceled new leases. They're now targeting the biggest oil field in Texas, which accounts for almost half of our daily output that they haven't already slashed. And meanwhile, our national reserves, they're tapping into to sell to China with self-dealing with a Hunter Biden connected firm. I mean, how is this not impeachment worthy at the very least? And this is a scandal of epic proportions. And Americans, I think, are wise to it, but this is a sabotage. They are trying to destroy our nation. And we can't let this continue. Republicans need to step it up and have real opposition and be sounding the alarm and real investigations instead of the real silence on Capitol Hill right now.
And the silence is because both sides of the aisle are in on it, folks. That's the status of our country. And the Biden family's getting rich. Nuts. You wonder why he's called China Joe? There is a direct thread there, folks. By the way, I'm going to show you, Lord willing, in a future study. We'll get a little bit more in a little bit. The reason why China keeps coming in the picture with this whole World Economic Forum Great Reset picture is because China is the model that they want to bring to the planet. It's called techno-communism, right? And Biden was brought in. This is why he's connected, because he's connected with Schwab, who Schwab on tape admitted that he loves China and thinks they're the model. I'll show that to you in a future study, Lord willing. But this is why. Was it worth paying all that money to Biden family? Well, do you hear Joe blame us for the virus or say anything bad about us? Rhymes with no, because he's bought and paid for. And this is what's going on. Remember how we used to get into the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation, and that was just a money-making scheme and scam? This is the new version, except husband and wife is father and son. This is treasonous behavior. This is traitor's behavior. These guys are destroying our country on purpose, and we need to speak up. But again, this is their ultimate goal, which leads to now the second one. That's just the gas and oil. It's going to destroy the finance and economy. Because, and again, it's not by chance that the first day in office, you start with the energy because and the oil, because that's what you need for a thriving economy. So it's going to what? It'll destroy the finance and economy. Do you see? It's all done lock and step. Now, if anything, this is one area that Biden is totally consistent in. You saw that there was hardly anybody at his rallies, and now you see with his economy, there's not much there either. right? So I'll give them kudos for that. But if you don't believe that our economy has been thrashed on purpose and inflation's gone through the roof on purpose to destroy the system, then let's just take a quick look. How was inflation during Trump years? And then as soon as Biden gets into office, let's take a look at that. Facts don't lie, folks. It knows how fast it's happened because that's the plan, to crash the system. It's gone through the roof because they're deliberately doing it. That's what they want. They know that the longer that they keep this up with attacking the fuel system, all that stuff, it's going to do that to the economy. And you can't sustain it. It's going to pop. Okay? This is why we're also seeing headlines like this. Again, it's not just America. They're doing this on purpose around the world. Western Europe is now what? Facing total financial collapse. You can't keep this up forever, folks. It's going to make the system pop. But again, that's what they want to do. Watch this. European what? Energy collapse. Why'd they start with energy? Because this is what it does. Could lead to a financial crisis across the globe. That's the plan. That's why they started. That's why he started day one with the fuel and the pipeline. And then to further exasperate things, on top of all that, you have this behavior going on. Russia and China officially announced a new global reserve currency. Right? So you got all this attack on the fuel that's driving down the economy, destroying the economy, driving up inflation rates, and then at the same time, you take away our security blanket, the dollar being the backbone, including for the energy industry. And this is what's going on. Biden, his policies that he came in immediately against Russia and other countries, has now forced those countries to say, we're going to ditch the dollar. Let me give you a little history lesson why that's important.
Anti-Russia sanctions seem to backfire, prompting the entire world to reconsider their financial policies. Ban on dollar banknotes export to Russia, freezing its foreign exchange reserves. The US is weaponizing its currency, and many are wondering if they might be targeted next. But what makes a dollar so special? Why does nearly every central bank in the world stockpile the US currency and invest in American bonds? The dollar has been preserving its status for decades, and the secret ingredient is oil. A quick dive into history. Back in 1974, Saudi Arabia was the world's biggest oil producer, and it had just shaken the Western world with a major oil embargo, a punishment for supporting Israel in the Yom Kippur War. The US was then importing 70% of its oil, and the embargo hit it hard. To guard themselves against the possible oil shocks of the future, the Nixon administration offered the Saudis a deal. The US agreed to supply the Saudis with military aid and equipment. In exchange, Saudi Arabia agreed to accept the dollar as a de facto means of exchange in the oil market. From that moment, every oil contract with Saudi Arabia had to be priced in the US currency. The rest of the OPEC countries followed suit. The petrodollar system was born. From 1974, the entire world has been paying for oil in the US dollars. No gold, Saudi riyal, or any other national currency allowed. To buy, an oil-importing country must first convert its national currency into US dollars. Ties to the world's most sought-after commodity immediately boosted demand for the US currency. Oil-importing countries began piling up dollar reserves to minimize currency volatility risks in their future oil purchases. Oil exporters started investing their dollar surplus back into the American economy, purchasing bonds and treasury bills. This enormous interest in the US currency raised it to a unique position. For decades, the dollar enjoyed its unique status with the tacit consent of the world. Its value remained relatively stable because the US economy has been growing steadily, unaffected by the turmoil in other parts of the world. Oil prices denominated in a stable currency, for their part, decreased fluctuations in the market. Up until now. Unparalleled anti-Russia sanctions shocked the government officials way beyond Russia's borders. India, China, and even Saudi Arabia are now giving a second thought to de-dollarization initiatives.
So do you see what else he's doing to further destroy our economy? He sets policies. Russia. I'm not here to defend Russia. But he sets these policies so egregiously over the top that it's pushed them over the edge and said, that's it, we're going to dump the dollar. That too is being done on purpose, because that's going to further destroy everything, which is why we're seeing headlines like this: BRICS, Russia, and India no longer need the U.S. dollar. Now, if you're wondering what BRICS stand for, that's basically Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But basically, they've now corralled together, and they said, we don't need the dollar. We're going to do our own currency. This is why we're also seeing China is quietly trying to dethrone the dollar. We also see this. The American dollar dominance fades where? In Saudi Arabia. And where is it shifting to? To China. It's its new reliable partner, which is why one guy said this: the decision to push almost 3 billion people, Russia, India, and China, into trading with each other in currencies other than the dollar will go down as one of the most short-sighted, self-destructive policies in the U.S. history. That's Biden in action. But it's not just short-sighted. He's doing it on purpose because he knows exactly what it's going to cause. They're going to dump the dollar. And they're warning, and I quote, BRICS swears to kill the U.S. dollar dominance by 2024. That's just here, folks. You know, if a true economic collapse, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but go back to what we saw with Hitler. Reichstag fire, collapsed economy. If this happens, if the dollar's destroyed this year, what did Hitler do? When he got into power, no more elections. Just saying. And then I had to throw this one in there because all this is going on, right? And here's Mr. Sneaky Booger. Collapse incoming. Antichrist Pope Francis orders transfers of all assets to the Vatican Bank. What do you know that we don't know, pal? Now, if you still don't think this is being done deliberate, number one, stop eating chicken. You got chicken on the brain. You're thinking foul fox. But even secular newscasters admit this is treason and it's being done deliberately. Watch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to prove to you in the next 10 minutes that Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are in fact responsible for sabotaging our economy and sabotaging our energy industry. It has nothing to do with foreign forces and foreign powers or boogeymen. It has something to do with actual policies that have been in the process now for decades. Now, these policies they put under the nomenclature of climate change or the Green New Deal. They started in the 1970s in Europe, as I pointed out in my book, American Marxism, where professors from all over the world, activists, Marxists, left-wing politicians, they all met and they came up with this notion of climate control as a venue, as a system through which they would push their economic agenda. Their economic agenda, if you read the research and scholarship, which I have done, is economic degrowth. Here's AFP. They have 25 steps the Biden administration has taken to smother energy production, investment, and development. You can look it up yourself. And it includes everything from adopting new EPA oil and gas rules to restricting or impeding energy projects, rejoining the Paris Agreement, appointing unaccountable energy regulators, forcing states to restrict driving, raising the price of cars and trucks, instituting a new policy on carbon taxes in organized wholesale electricity markets, raising the prices of common household necessities as a result, stifling energy innovation, altering regulatory cost analyses, imposing new costs on power generation, impeding American exports, raising taxes across the board, and of course, fueling the fire for future regulation and the lack of future investment. That is how you destroy a country. So let me be abundantly clear. This has nothing to do with Russia invading Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. It has nothing to do with anything but Joe Biden the Democrat Congress and their radicals. And you know what their plan is to fix the energy situation? They have no plan. How can they? They broke the system, and they have no intention of fixing it.
Which is the code word for you want it to crash. Because when they crash it, that becomes the excuse to bring in what Joe said at the World Economic Forum, the new digital revolution. And this is why at the same time they're crashing the system, we're seeing headlines like this. Biden is planning a new digital currency. Well, why would you plan a new digital currency? I mean, do you know something we don't know? Our currency is perfectly fine. He's preparing you for it. And, quote, prepare for the next collapse. Central bank digital currency is coming. That's why 2 years ago, folks, he signed the executive order, check it out for yourself, 14067, to go to a cashless society. The digital dollar is also known as the Biden bucks. And then you stir all this together, they'll bring in, we'll get into this, Lord willing, in more detail later, they want to bring in the China model, techno-communism. And they'll know not only everything about your finances, but it's all going to be tied together because it's all digital now. And they will be able to dictate anything and everything you do. In fact, here's what the China model looks like. It's already in action over there. They're just getting ready to bring it over here. Watch this.
They're constantly monitored by facial recognition cameras that are able to instantly put a face to a name. Now the Chinese are also ranked, given a mark out of a possible 950 points. A score in the 700s is considered good. Around the 500 mark is not. For now, the number is a sort of bank credit rating, keeping track of everyone's spending habits.
I think being ranked is a good thing. A society has to have rules.
It forces us to be well-behaved.
It may seem scary, but it's just like that here. We're used to it, and anyway, we don't have a choice.
But in an effort to keep all of its subjects in line, Beijing is taking the system a step further in 2020. It's aggregating data gathered by banks, private companies, and the state to rate if someone's a good or bad citizen.
By using the most data possible, the so-called big data, the system will play an important role in rebuilding a moral society.
The state will go over every detail of a person's life with a fine-tooth comb. Their financial situation, spending habits, career, even behavior on social media. Criticizing the government online or displaying outward signs of wealth is a no-no. On the other hand, praising the party or giving blood increases your social credit. Xiaowen Wang is a model citizen. She lives in Nanjing, a testing ground for social ranking. Married with a child, she has a job in a retirement home, no debts, and she wouldn't dream of jaywalking.
As a good citizen, I respect the rules of the road. If I didn't, I'd lose points on my social credit.
In theory, everything can be taken into account in the social score, even the most innocuous errands like supermarket shopping. When Xiaowen Wang makes an electronic payment, her purchases tell the state a lot about her. Buying cigarettes would count against her. On the other hand, nappies show she's an attentive mother. Beer could indicate alcoholism. She'd be better off buying water. In this pilot city of 8 million people, there are only 18,000 model citizens. For Xiaowen Wang, there are perks to be had, such as paying half price for the bus.
I get discounts for all public services, even at museums. And the library is free for me, thanks to my score.
A good score brings benefits, but people with low scores lose rights. The cinema names and shames people considered untrustworthy, plastering their details, even their addresses, across big screens.
It's a matter of principle. Those people have to be condemned.
Those people aren't honest, so they have to pay the price.
It's only right to pay your debts. You have to blacklist those that don't.
The Supreme Court has created a blacklist for so-called bad citizens, those whose ratings have dropped to zero. On it are companies, but also 23 million people to date. Among them is this journalist, Liu Hu. He got a little too close to uncovering corruption among high-profile party members. After being sued for defamation by the subject of a story he'd written, he was blacklisted. He only realized when he tried to buy a train ticket and was told he was banned from traveling.
That tells me I'm still on the blacklist.
Punished because he's been branded untrustworthy by the state.
Once you're blacklisted, you can no longer get a bank loan, start a business, buy an apartment, or even send your children to a private school.
Yu Hu is among a tiny minority of people who have dared to criticize the system, which some are calling a digital dictatorship.
Or what Joe said at the World Economic Forum, the coming digital revolution. We could laugh and go, that's freaky, that's too bad for those people. This is the system that they want to bring across the globe, including America. If you want to do the research, search the term techno-communism. Because you can't say Mark of the Beast, that's too obvious. Because that's all this is. This is what China Joe was brought in to do. Destroy our current system so he could replace it with what you just saw. This is the Great Reset. They want it all over the world. They want it all in place by 2030. And they're going to keep launching crisis after crisis after crisis, keeping us distracted, squirrel, squirrel, until they get the job done. He's also known, in case you're wondering, Beijing Biden. If you need another term. Because there's a direct connection there. He is a puppet of Klaus Schwab. They've been laughing at us still to this day, folks, for a long time. And, again, Klaus is buddies with China. He thought their reaction to the pandemic and just their techno-communism and everything is a great model for the world. And that's why he brought Biden in, to bring that to us. And, again, call it for what you will. Why are we studying this? Because I am convinced, scripturally, what we're seeing, you can call it techno-communism, you can call it the fourth industrial revolution, new world order, great reset, all you want. It's the Antichrist system that is literally being built almost there. They're just dotting the I's, crossing the T's, moving from crisis to crisis to get us further along so that when the Antichrist pops his head on the scene after the rapture, here you go, buddy, take charge. That's how close we are. And now we got a new term as we close. It's not just vaccine remorse. It's called Biden remorse. As this guy says, congratulations to Biden voters for electing the most corrupt president in U.S. history. Hopefully more people are catching on. And hopefully he doesn't get in another term. This kid, I love this, says, Mom, I'm beginning to think he was right about everything, speaking about Trump. Of course he was, honey, but he gave people mean nicknames on Twitter, so your father and I chose to vote for a complete economic and societal collapse instead. But now it's not so funny because they're seeing the fruit of just 3 years of this guy. And he's just getting started. And he's going to hit all angles he can to destroy, including food and commerce. We'll deal with that, Lord willing, next time. But what's the point for you and I? Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, Christian, stand up, look up. Put your head up, man. Hoo-wee. Jesus Christ, you're coming back to get us. And that's the best case news. We're out of here before. So what do? We are the restraining influence. We blow the whistle on these guys. That's what we're doing this for. But not just me. I'm trying to get you equipped so you can do it to the people around you. Amen. Let them know. This isn't just a geopolitical issue. It's not just a political issue. It's a spiritual issue. Yes. It's signs from God that our planet is wrapping up. We're in the last days. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our study today. And just thank you for, man, if anything, I guess on the one hand, as it's been stated, what did we expect the last days to look like? It's all happening right before our very eyes. The lead up, the foundation, the dotting the I's, the crossing the T's. It's even in our country, the unthinkable. It's all around us. But it's not here to freak us out, not your people. It's to get us motivated, to finish strong as your bride. This is the last effort as we're about to get to that finish line. We need to grab as many people as we can to come along with us to escape because there's only one way out of this mess. And it's not a political savior. It's through Jesus Christ. May that be our heart cry with whatever day we have left. And God, as always, if there's anybody here watching online that's not saved, please save them before it's too late. Help them to realize, God, the time is running out. And if they would just ask you, Jesus, to forgive them, confess you as Lord, believe in your heart that you, God, raised them from the grave, they will be saved. They want to be a saint, all right, but not a tribulation saint. That's too late. You could avoid the whole thing if you get saved now and be a church age saint. May that be the case. But thank you for our study. We ask you, please continue to bless it with what time we have left to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor,
can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.